You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We begin with 55, the 55 Chevy. I've been studying the 55 Chevy with you, so we're not studying much Bible. But the 55 Chevy was the first year, that's all they called it, 55. And then 56, and then 57, and 58. And so we've seen some things about every one of these Impalas, and they're just beautiful. Now the 57 Chevy, with what'd you learn? This was, what's this thing called right there? Continental kit. You see, you're getting smart. Know nothing about the Bible, but you know a lot about cars. And this is the first car, the 56, I saw with my dad in the showroom floor. Oh, brand new. It was beautiful. Well, this one, the 57, in 57, 58, and even 59, they had posters like this. We are blasting off to the moon. And so they had posters like that. But this 57 had these two fins that came up. Can you see it there? Can you see the fins coming up? Well, 59, where we're at tonight, did just the opposite. They flattened them out, so instead of going up, they went this way right here. And tonight, we look at the 57. Don't worry, I've got another shelf coming. We're gonna go a few more weeks. The 55 Chevy, the 56 Chevy, the 57, the 58. This is the poor man's Cadillac. The 58, most of the 58 Pontiac, 58 Oldsmobile, the 58 Chevy, they all shared the same fenders. It was a beautiful car. And they're all beautiful cars, and they're all Chevys. Brother Shilton, and tonight we're the 59 Chevy. I never liked the 59. They call these, can you see those lights in the back there? They call the lights the cat eyes. And so it looked like cat eyes. Really, other than the convertible, the 59 Chevy was about the ugliest car you've ever made. It's just ugly. It was number one selling car in 59, 463,000 models were made. And they sold them, and there was only 62,000 convertibles. The convertible's nice. The 60 convertible is about the same, but instead of the cat eyes in the back, they put three lights in the back, and they started doing three lights all the time. I never liked the 59, but I do like the convertible. And so tonight, we're going to look at Psalm 59, and I'd like you to read all 17 verses with me. Let's read all 17 verses. Now, we're going to go back briefly afterwards, just briefly, and make some comments about some of the words. But you're going to look for, as we're reading, you may want to underscore the word me, the word mine, the personal pronoun me and my and they. Let's look at these words just a little bit as we read them. You might want to circle them. You're going to find the word me five times in verse 1 and 2. So David is writing about himself. The Psalm 59 was David was inside of his house, and outside of his house was Saul. And Saul was waiting to kill David. It was an exasperating time for David. He was so worn out. He'd been running from Saul, running from his javelin, hiding in the caves, hiding in the wilderness. And he gets now in his home, even his home gets surrounded. And he's so tired of it. I wonder tonight if you're in a battle of your life and you're just tired of it. Never give up in a battle. Amen. You know, the songwriter said, it's always darkest before the dawn. And you just never know how close you are to real victory. You have to get through the trial. Whatever the trial might be, it might be a physical trial. You'll get through it, I promise you. You'll get through it. Praise the Lord. You got to think, as a man thinketh, you got to think, I'm going to get through this. Amen. You'll get through that trial. And you'll get through this financial reversal. And you'll get through the loss of a job. And you'll get through falling off the wagon with alcoholism and drugs. You'll get through it. You'll make it. Let's read Psalm 59, remembering those words, me and my especially. Ready? Begin. Deliver me from mine enemies. Thank you for reading the scripture. You always do so well. Our Father, I thank you for these great people. The teenagers haven't been home all day. They left about 6:30 this morning for their homes. Drove in here and went to school, then went soul winning, ate dinner together, now here. God, help me to keep their attention for just a few more minutes. May they get home tonight, get good rest. Thank you for the children. Elementary chapel was so exciting this morning. Thank you for the children's ministry tonight, all the workers that are working with our children. Perhaps this will be the night that some parent will be able to lead their child to Christ. I thank you for these adults. They've all worked long jobs. And I pray that, God, you'd give them just a measure of grace to stay alert for a few more moments. As we look at the 59, chapter 59, this tremendous chapter, open our eyes to your word is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Me and my is found 21 times in these 17 verses. David's talking about me. I'm in trouble. I have problems. And God, only you can help me over them. Them is found 12 times. They is found many times. And so he's comparing himself with these that are following after him. It's just not Saul. It's all of Saul's people that are after him. They've circled his house. And I want you to see with me tonight, perhaps you're being circled around in your life, as we've already mentioned, but perhaps you're like David. You're hated, and you're hated for no reason. I wish I could understand why this person hates me. I wish I could understand why this person's against me. But the Bible says in verse number 1-4, help me. Look what he says. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie wait for my soul. the mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression or for my sin, Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake. Then he says these two words. What does he say? Help me. Say it together. Help me. And so he's saying, God, will you deliver me? Will you deliver me? Verse 2, will you deliver me again? Will you, verse 2, save me? God, these people are against me. And then God, verse 4, will you help me? Always turn to God. Always turn to God. Whatever the trial, whatever the adversity, whatever the situation, life, always turn to God. So many times people come to the point in their life, I'm just so overwhelmed. I think, very dangerous what you think. I think what I'm going to do is quit church. Always what you think is always the wrong decision. I think I'll stop going to Sunday school, Brother Everson. I've heard it before. I don't think I'll go to Sunday school. I don't think I'll go Sunday morning. I don't think I'll sing in the choir anymore. They're playing favoritism. They never asked me to sing the solo. You can't sing, but still stay in the choir. You know, I don't know why they don't ask you to sing. I've asked for 50 years now in this church. I've asked to sing the solo parts. They won't even put me on the list to sing. I'm leaving this church. I'm mad. No, you can't get mad over that. I was working for a pastor years ago, and I've told you this recently, but I like to hear the story again, so I'm going to tell you again. And I was working for him. It was a great church written in the book, the 10 fastest growing churches in America. We were growing, we were going, we were booming forth. And he said, Brother Jack, you're new on staff. You're singing in my adult Sunday school class Sunday morning. And I stood up and I sang. And all Sunday, he kept writing notes and saying, this is the best singing we've ever had in our church. Brother Jack, the choir was the great. The congregational singing was the greatest. Everything has been great. It's been wonderful. But he kept writing things down. And on Monday, I was walking by his office. He said, hey, Brother Jack, come on in here. And I knew it was going to be more of clapping and applauding my great talent from Sunday about the great choir and the great music. And he said, just several things you did wrong yesterday. Let me help you with them. You know, quite frankly, the guy, the pastor, I think was tone deaf. He didn't know about good singing, but here's what he said. He said, Brother Jack, I had you sing in my class. Don't ever sing again. I said, okay. He said, you know, guy who's tone deaf, I think he's tone deaf. He said, you don't have a solo voice. You know, I could have been really offended. Brother Mike, I could have quit the ministry that day. You know how much sleep I lost over it? Zero. And I've never sung again. But I've never sung again. I've never sung a bit. You want me to sing, don't you? I could feel it. I could just feel it tonight. I could sing when I'm preaching, and I do quite often. But I'd sing Brother Alvin. He asked me a couple months ago to sing with him, and I did not want to sing. I said to him, I got up here, I said, I'm going to kill you tomorrow. And I sang with them. I was shaking. I was nervous. My legs, I felt my pants going back and forth like this. My legs were shaking. I was shaking. I was scared to death. He said, Brother Jack, don't sing a solo. You know what? He's God's man. And he knew much more about his church than I knew. He had given his life for it. I was just there one Sunday. And he didn't want me to sing. And I was fine with that. He said, the music was great. He said, by the way, you did this wrong. He said, you didn't tell them to remain standing or sit down or whatever. You just walked back and I had to come up. Always tell the church, always. And he said, my rule around here, I don't think that's our rule around here. But he goes, our rule around here, the pulpit always tells them what to do. And so if you want them to remain standing, you can back off and say, remain standing, please. Pastor, you come. That was his rule. And it gave me a whole bunch of things. But he was the pastor. You know, we come up with the craziest ideas. I'm going to quit the choir. I'm quitting the bus route. I'm quitting teaching Sunday school. I'm quitting tithing. Quit is never the answer. It is never the answer. Here in verses 1 through 4, David is complaining. David's crying out, deliver me. Verse 2, deliver me from bloody men. They're against me. Help me. Then verses 5 through 8 is the next section. Thou therefore, O Lord. Now he turns to God directly. He mentions God's name directly. Thou therefore, O Lord God of the host, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog. They go about the city. Behold, they belch out their mouth. Swords are in their lips. And who doth hear? But thou, O Lord. And he's bringing God into this. Thou shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. And so God, he says, would you deliver me from my enemies? God, he brings God's name in this. God, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me. And that, where could I go but to the Lord? That's Caleb, you play that song. Without him, I would be nothing. Without him, I'd be enslaved in sin. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Oh, don't turn him away. Turn to him in every situation. Amen. What is it today? Is it a prodigal son? Honey, I don't think I know of a greater hurt in all the life than to have a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. And many of you have them. Don't quit on God when your son's prodigal. Don't quit on God's work when your daughter's a prodigal. I don't know when they're going to come back. But they never come back when you leave the church. They just never come back. It means that you have to come to church and sit here and sing all these great hymns and songs and praise God and listen to preaching and hear an invitation and your heart is broken. I can't imagine going to bed tonight. Tim talks to his mom all the time. I don't talk to him that much from here and there, but he talks to him quite often. They talk together. You know, I can't imagine Tim. He and his wife sang a duet with their choir on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday. That boy has got a good voice. And that wife of his, beautiful voice. And they sang so beautifully. And I had just rejoiced that all of our kids were serving God, preaching and teaching on Easter Sunday somewhere in America. All of them, all of our kids, all of our 14 grandkids were in church. But that may not continue a lifetime. Ashlyn, our firstborn, I think she's 23, I'm guessing. Ashlyn's our firstborn. She graduates in a few weeks from school. And then she's getting married this summer. And you know, that adds another dynamic to it. She's marrying a wonderful boy. Just a Shane's a wonderful boy. He is just, he's everything we'd hope for in a grand son-in-law. He's from a preacher's home. He's a good boy. He's a carpenter. He's a builder. He's a good boy. But what's going to happen if Shane gets away from God? And there's Ashlyn with 2, 3, 4, 5 little kids and going to church by herself. I hate to think of that. But what happens if Ashlyn walks away from God and Shane's taking 2, 3, 4, 5 little kids to church? My heart's going to ache. Brother John, my heart will be so broken. It'll keep me up at night, as is my kids keep me up at night. And they're all living for God. But I get so nervous for them, so concerned for them. And I have to bring God in this. God, please help my family. Please help my children to live for you. Please help my grandchildren to live for you, that our grandkids and our children might bring praise to your name. And so that's what David's doing, is his house is surrounded. He's talking, first of all, verses 1-4 about his problem. Verse 5-8, he says, God, you can answer this. But look what he says in verse number 10 and 11. He wants God to deal with his enemies. He said, oh God of my mercy, the God of my mercy shall prevent me and shall not, let me see my desire upon my enemies. Slay them not. Let me stop right there. David at least had the desire that his enemies would not get hurt. When you just wish evil on your enemies, you're not right with God. Slay them not. But they're wicked. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. But don't slay them. Then he says in verse 12-15, he goes, says, go ahead and slay them. You know, you feel like you're like this sometime. I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down. Verse 12, he says, the sin of thy mouth, their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in pride and cursing and lying. Three things. He said, their pride, their cursing, their lying, consume them in thy wrath. Consume them. Now he says, don't slay them. They may not, that they may not be. God, he says, God, if you want to kill him, go ahead. You talk about a guy messed up. Slay him not. Go ahead. But if you want to kill him, kill him. Let them know that God ruleth in Jacob and the ends of the earth. Verse 14, at evening, let them return and let them make a noise like a dog going around about the city. Verse 15, let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. I skipped one verse and I know I did. Verse 16, but I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense, my refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. O God is my defense and the God of my mercy. He's asking at first, verse 1, deliver me. But now he says, God, you're my defense. I missed one verse, didn't I? It's the verse I want you to memorize. This is the verse of the week this week, and it's verse number 9. Let's go back and read it together. Verse number 9 is our verse that we'll memorize this week. Ready? Begin. Because of his strength. Let's go back to chapter 55. What's the verse in 55? You know this old 55? I tell you what. This 55 Chevy is beautiful. It's just a beautiful car. It's the first year of V8 engines. And they put a, Brother Hardy, they put a 265 in here. They put a 265 in, and you can see it right there. It's a beautiful V8. That car is so beautiful. Boy, I need that. I don't know which one to tell you to buy for me, but why don't you buy them all and I'll get a garage here and we'll make the, and this 56, it's a little smaller than the 55. It's just a classic. And then 57, but then, and 57 is the classic. Ford outsold them, Brother Shilton, I mentioned last week, but somehow the 57 Chevy is the classic. The 58 is the year of dual headlights. So whenever you see dual headlights, you know it's not below 56. It's not below 58. The 58 is the dual, all the Fords had 58 dual headlights, the Chryslers and the GM products. And those were the only ones in America. We didn't have Datsun. We didn't have Nissan. We didn't have Acura. We didn't have Mercedes here. Maybe you'd see a Mercedes once in a while, but we didn't have Mercedes here. We didn't have Toyota here. We didn't have any of those. We had Chevy, GM, we had Ford, and we had Chrysler products. But every one of these have a memory verse with them. The 55 begins with the word cast. Verse number 22, chapter 55. If you need to read it, if you don't have it memorized yet, that's okay. Put on a 3x5 card. That's what I've done. And then just read it at a stoplight or whatever. 55:22. Are you ready? Begin. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall save thee. He shall never. That's the 55. 55:22. Never forget it. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He'll sustain thee. He shall never, never. And then 56. Let's go to 56. And 56 is the third verse. The third verse. Do you have it there? Let's read it or memorize it. Let's say it together. Ready? Begin. What time? And then we go to 57. The classic 57 Chevy. And 57. The 57, I gave you the verse number 7. 57:7. My heart is fixed. Ready? Begin. My heart is fixed.
Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing in
your praise. I'm watching many of you. You've memorized them. You're doing great. And then we got to 58. And 58, the verse is verse number 11, a little bit harder verse. Not as familiar. Verse number 11. Ready? Begin. So that a man shall say, verily, and now 59, the 59 Chevy. I want to say it was 1959 that my dad said he was working at a 12-story building downtown Stockton. He was on the first floor. I think it was 60. It wasn't 59, but it may have been 59. And he said, son, you can go across the street to Eagle Ford today. And I went over there. I looked at all the Fords. The 59 Ford was a beautiful car. And I looked at that 59. I just spent the day with that Eagle Ford. The Ford was beautiful, Brother Shilton. It was a beautiful car. The 60 was like an upside-down bathtub. It was the ugliest Ford they had ever made. I always thought that about the 59 Chevy till I see it like this. It's pretty cool. But the 59, I spent all day there. Then I went down the street about three blocks, and I went to Chase Chevrolet. I just looked at them. They didn't want to help a young boy. I just walked around and looked at cars. I looked at the bumpers. I looked at the grills. I looked at the tailpipes. I looked at everything. I just looked at them. They had a Chevy dealer there. They had a Buick dealership there. They had a Cadillac dealership there. I just looked at them. I never really looked at the Chryslers. Did you, Brother Shilton? I didn't either. How many looked at the Chryslers? Anybody here? Brother Raymond? The Chryslers had a starter in them, and the starter made this sound. Is this true? And it was the craziest. You know, the Chevy would start up, the Ford would start up. But you get those Chryslers, don't ever buy a Chrysler. But we get to 59, and 59 is verse number 9. Ready? Begin. Because of his strength, that summarizes chapter 59. Saul is around David's house. He's encompassed it. His men are around it. He's already been in the wilderness. He's already been in the caves. He's always been in the, he's been in the mountains. He's already been running from the javelin. Now his house is encased. He said, God, I'm so tired of this. But verse number 9 is the key to the entire chapter. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee. for God is my defense.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.